Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
Taking a mountain at 85. The world in which we live identifies that mankind has a responsibility to work hard throughout the course of our life, and certainly we understand as New Testament Christians that this does align with what the Bible says. We are indeed to earn our keep by the sweat of our brow. And the Bible also tells us that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. In all of this, in regard to the way in which the world looks at things, man says that we need to continue to work hard to the point to where we can get to that point in our life that we're able to retire. And I would agree in a sense that there's nothing at all wrong with working hard and building our funds and putting ourselves in financial situation or shape to where a person can retire. But in all of this, then, this next statement that is presented by the world is that whenever an individual retires, is that it's a time to kick back and that life now owes us something, and therefore we're going to spend our life solely enjoying and doing whatever it is that we so choose to do. That part I cannot agree with. Why? Because in the Lord's church, according to what the Bible says, we know, good people, that this is indeed not what is taught in Scripture. In Scripture, the Bible tells us that we need to keep on keeping on. We need to continue to work, maybe not from a societal standpoint. Maybe we do not hold a job here in the world. Maybe we've been able to retire from that sense. But in reality, God says that we still must continue to work to serve faithfully in His kingdom. Why? Because, good people, in all of this, we continue to be Christians. Above all, we are Christians, and no matter what point we get to in this life, if we get to that point where we're able to retire, we are still Christians, and we have responsibilities in God's sight. Today, I want us to look at a man by the name of Caleb, and I want to identify concerning this man from the time in which he was about 40 years of age, and then look at him then at the age of 85, and what do we see in regard to this man? As a young man, Caleb was selected by God, according to what we find in Numbers chapter 13, verse 6 and following. In this, God had commanded Moses to select out 12 men, men from each tribe, and that these men were required to be leaders amongst the children of Israel. They were commanded that they were head of the children of Israel. And in all of this, we understand that God, our Creator, selected Caleb amongst those 12 to be sent into the land of Canaan and to spy it out. He was sent forth by Moses, that's what the rest of these individuals were. And being sent out, good people, we understand that they were commanded to go. They were commanded to go into Canaan. And they were to see for themselves. They were to establish with their own eyes, with their own understanding concerning the inhabitants of the land, as well as to evaluate the land itself. They were to look at the people and to see if the people were weak or if they were strong. They were to identify concerning the land to see if indeed it was fruitful or if it was bad land. In all of this, we understand that they, in going and seeing and establishing with their own eyes, then they were commanded by Moses, through God, in all of this then, that they were to bring back a report to report unto Moses and unto the children of Israel whether or not the land was worthy of going into and if God's people would be able to prevail in taking the land away from those who dwelt therein at this given time. Good people, we understand in the context of Numbers chapter 13, verses 6 and following, that Caleb and the other men went into the land. And whenever they went into the land, no doubt they were taken back by exactly what it was that they saw. They identified that indeed the people of the land, that they were as giants, that these individuals were indeed strong, men of war, men of mighty war and valor. In all of this then too, they looked at the inhabitants of the land, and not only those who dwelt in the land, they also considered the land. And in looking at the things that the land had to offer, they were totally amazed. They saw that indeed the fruits of the land were far superior than anything that they themselves had at their hands. In all of this, good people, the Bible tells us that they cut for themselves a cluster of grapes, and that cluster of grapes had to be carried upon the shoulders of individuals. That is large. In all of this then, they not only took clusters of grape backs, they also took pomegranates and figs. in all of these things. They were taking evidence back to show unto Moses as well as unto all of the children of Israel that indeed this land is worthy of going back and conquering, no matter what size the people are, no matter what it is that we have to go through. In this we understand that they went back and they reported unto Moses. And whenever they spoke unto Moses, they laid the evidence before him and said, "See, here's what is in the land." And they spoke in very positive terms about all that the land had to offer. However, good people, when we think in regard to 11 of those who went with Caleb, these men spoke out against their going in and taking the city. Why? Because they stressed their concerns before Moses. They said, indeed, the land has much to offer, but the people of the land, they are very strong. And there's no way in the world that we're going to be able to conquer them. And good people, understand in all of this that not only did they sow this seed to Moses, but then in like figure, they took this out unto the rest of the children of Israel. Caleb would not stand still for him. Caleb spoke up with great courage and conviction. And he identified that yes, indeed, the people are strong. But yet at the same time, and this is paraphrased, at the same time, there's no way in the world that they can be victorious. Why? Because we have God working on our side. Do you see the type of man that Caleb was? Caleb looked at the odds and he understood that no matter how devastating it might appear in his eyes, no matter how hopeless it might have appeared from a world standpoint, he realized that as long as God was on his side, upon the children of Israel's side, that they would be able to go in and to be victorious. And he spoke very boldly concerning what it was that he knew that God wanted him to do. Did the people listen? Absolutely not. In fact, we understand in the context of Numbers chapter 14 that the children of Israel spoke out with criticism against Moses and Aaron. And in like figure, I believe that Caleb would have been amongst that who would have received these critical marks. No doubt they were trying to tear these men down with their critical positions regarding them and what it was that they did not want to do. In these things, though, we understand that Caleb was special in God's sight. Why? Because Caleb did not allow this criticism to tear him down, but rather, good people, he himself took it upon himself to make certain that he constantly focused upon God, realizing that God would indeed lead not only him as a leader of Israel, but that God would lead his people into the promised land. Understand, in the context of all this, certainly it is identified here in Numbers chapter 14 that it would not be this generation who would be allowed to go into the land. Why? Because these people were rebellious continually against God. The people as a whole did not care. And for that reason, God was going to allow them to wander in the wilderness for some 40 years to where one generation would die off and yet another generation would come forth. And somebody might say, "Kevin, but what about Caleb? Caleb was faithful." And by all means, God identifies to Moses, and certainly I believe to Caleb and to Joshua, that these two men, Joshua and Caleb, would be allowed to enter into the promised land. And good people, not only that they would be allowed to enter into the promised land, but by the leadership of Joshua as well as his second man Caleb, they would subdue the land. They would take over the land. And they would fortify the land to where it would constantly belong unto the children of Israel. In all of this, because of Caleb's focus, because of the man of who he was as a young man, we understand that without question, he was successful in the end. But what about later in life? At the age of 85, we understand from the context of Joshua chapter 14, verses 1 through 15, actually, and it's on 1 through 17 on the board, but it's actually 6 through 17, or 6 through 15. In the context of all this, Caleb stepped up and Caleb requested that he be allowed to take the mountain Hebron. And in all of this, good people understand, is that this took great courage for this man some 45 years later to go to Joshua and to say, "This land had been promised to me and to my descendants. We want it." And Caleb could have easily stepped back and said, "I'm an old man, it doesn't matter at this point." But he did not. The Bible tells us that they went forward, he and his descendants, and they took that mountain, and they established their residency there. They set up their homes, their livelihood. At the age of 85, this man took upon himself this task of making certain that he followed through with doing what God expected him to do, whether he was 40 or 85 or even older than that. How do all these things apply to us today? Good people, here at East End, we are truly blessed with several older members here in our congregation. And while the world might look at you and say that you're at the end of your life or you're nearing that point, in the true church, we realize that in reality, you're still here and that you are a beautiful part of this congregation. In fact, we understand that as you are getting older, that it's not to be looked down upon, but rather that we look at you and that you serve as a blessing and an encouragement to us. You are beautiful here in this congregation. And understand, while I look out at you and you may have a physical appearance that I would call beautiful, that's not what I'm talking about. In reality, I'm saying from a spiritual standpoint, you are extremely beautiful to me and to all who are part of this congregation. We are truly blessed to have several members in this church. Why do I say that? Good people, because of your work and your faithfulness to God. Many of you, for many years now, some for 30, 40, and maybe even pushing 50 years, have been members of the Lord's church, and you have worked hard in the congregation here at East End. And you say, Kevin, how do you know that we worked hard? Because I've had a lot of the younger people come to me and to say, you know, brother or sister so-and-so, they've been very faithful. They are constantly working in the church. They're always doing great things. And it didn't start yesterday, but rather started many years ago once they obeyed the gospel, and they've not stopped even into this point in time. They continue to work hard in the church. And your faithfulness has served as an encouragement and an example to each and every one of us. Your love for God, your commitment to know His truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. You know the truth and you've stood faithful in the truth. And for that reason, what a blessing each and every one of you are to us. And because of your hard work, look at where the church is today. Look at where we are at this point in time. The church is growing. Why are we growing? Good people, it's not because of me. It's not because of one or two others in the congregation, but rather it's because of what we are doing together as the body of Christ. And understand that. It's not the younger members, it's not the middle-aged members, nor is it just the older members, but rather it's everyone meshing together to be unified to the glorification of God's name. And as a result of our working together, our God is pleased and God's blessing us, and we're seeing the fruits of our labors in these things. Why are we to the point to where we are today? It's because of our older members. Because of the work that you have done. Because of the foundations that you laid and that you built upon throughout the course of your life. And because of your love and faithfulness to our God and to the souls of mankind. That's why we are where we are today as the East End Church of Christ here in McMinnville, Tennessee. And today, as I stand before you, I tell you that God's not done with you yet. We understand in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7 that as old men, Moses and Aaron took the reins and led Israel out of bondage. We realize, as is taught in Luke chapter 2 and verse 37, that the widow, if memory serves me correct, was 84 years of age, 84, 85. And she is identified here as a prophetess of God, working diligently to bring forth glorification to God's name. And if you are here today and an older member of the East End Church of Christ, we want you to know that while the world may say you have one foot in the grave, we say you do not. You're still alive. You still have life. You still have so much that you can give and that we want to learn from and that we want to see happen through your works and your abilities. And I step back and I say, I am most amazed and impressed sometimes by what it is that I see. Why? Because we have some who are continually doing so much here in the church. I didn't ask if I could name some names today, but I'm going to. And I hope that it doesn't offend in any way. But Brother Gene Pegg makes copies out of his own pocket and goes on foot here throughout our community in McMinnville, handing out literature on the Lord's church. And when I first learned of that, we had moved here 2 years ago. And in that, the way we were introduced to that is he came up and he says, "Do you have a telephone book from Pennsylvania?" And I'm like, "Why do you want a telephone book from Pennsylvania? Are you going to call people back here and check up on me?" And what he was wanting was is to get names of people in Pennsylvania. He goes through the phone, not only here in our community, but he goes through the phone book and finds names and addresses and sends literature on the Lord's church, hoping to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Gene's not a young man, but Gene is a worker in the kingdom. Sister Blankenship and Sister Swathin make copies of literature and go to places like Walmart and such and distribute that literature on car windows. And we have so many of our older members who do things like that to get the word out. And you light me on fire. You motivate me so much to see what you are doing. And I know why you're doing it. Because you love God. Because God is number one to you. Because your life exists because you realize that God is responsible for your life here. And every good and perfect gift that you have in your life, you want to put it to the use of God and to the glorification of His holy and righteous name. But it's not only about God. It's about the souls of mankind. You have come to realize through your life, through the things that you have experienced, that life is more than just about life here in this world. But life is about going to heaven and about taking as many souls as what you can possibly take with you. And for that reason, you're constantly going out and you're doing things. And to that, I hope and pray that that fire that's in me today will be there at the age of 85 and beyond. It's what I see present characteristic in the lives of so many that is here at East End, sitting here in our audience to this day. Each member of the church here at East End is needed and wanted. We need you so much. And you say, "Kevin, what do you need about me?" Your knowledge of the Bible. We have brothers and sisters alike here in the church that has so much knowledge to offer regarding God's Word, concerning what it is that God has for man. The Old Testament, how those things are there for our learning. There's so much that I still have to learn, and many of you have and continue to share things with me that give me great insight as your minister. And I know that I'm not alone, that you're sharing this wealth of knowledge with others. And then in like figure, not only concerning your knowledge of the Word of God, your experiences in life, you have gone through so much more than I could even start to imagine. You have so much to share with me and with the congregation here that will give us great insight, maybe with things that we're going to face in life, or maybe with people that we're going to deal with, souls that we're reaching out to, and you can share with us as you do, many of you, and you say, "Well, this will not work, but this will work." And by all means, we're listening with open ears and saying, "You tell me, you feed me." Why? Because you've been there. And you know what works and doesn't work. And we need that from you.
and you are indeed an encouragement to each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 told Timothy, as a young evangelist, to be an example to the church, to let no one despise his youth. And by all means, we want to encourage our youth to be an example to the church, to the middle-aged of us, and to the older people. But in like figure, older members realize that you are an encouragement to us in so many ways. To look out and to see our older generation here constantly. We talk about faithfulness to the Lord. You are always here whenever the doors are open. I can look out and know that you're going to be here. And that just is such an encouragement to me, and not only to me, but to every member. To look and to see and to know that we can count on you, and know that the Lord knows that He can count on you for everything. You're wanted and needed in every aspect of the work, and you're able to offer to the work that those things that I can't even think about. While one may be the eye, the other's the ear. While one may be the foot, the other's the hand. Like for instance, a week from tomorrow I fly out to Australia. And many of you have given me words of advice. Many of you have given funds to help fund this work. And together we're going. Larry's going to Guyana. And together we're going. You say, how are we going together, Kevin? You're the only one with a ticket. Through your love and your commitment, we're able to do what we're able to do. To buy the material, to buy the DVDs, to buy the Bibles, to buy the supplies, and to go and to spend the 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is, however long we're staying. We could not do those things without you. Every member offers something to the work. And the Lord doesn't want us to sit down and to say we've landed. Because in reality, we've not. Why? Because the Bible tells us that there is indeed a day when we will land. There is an inheritance that awaits us in heaven with our God. The way in which we will receive that inheritance is if we work, if we continue to take that mountain at 85, 90, 95, Sister Swofford will be 100 in October. And at 100, faith and faithfulness to the very end. And then and only then will we receive that crown of righteousness. To our older members today, we say thank you so much for your love to God, for your faithfulness to Him, and for your work in the kingdom. And realize that God's not done with you yet. Keep on reaching up and reaching out to do all and to do as much as you possibly can to help people like me, to encourage us and to guide us so that we too shall follow in your steps as we move forward and advance in age and life. Today we ask the question, where do you stand with God? If you stand outside of the body of Christ, you stand lost before God. In that I mean, if you have not submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we want to encourage you to do so. Why? Because this is how an individual comes in contact with the blood of Christ. By confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin.